Chapter 4 First Book Pymander. Once, while I was meditating on the essential things and my mind elevated itself, my bodily senses fell into slumber, as may happen to someone who, after excessive feeding or as a result of great bodily fatigue, is overcome by a deep sleep. It seemed to me that I saw a mighty being of indefinite stature who called me by name and said, "What do you wish to hear and see, and what do you long to learn and to know in your spirit soul?" I spoke, "Who art thou?"
And I heard in answer, "I am Pymander, the spirit soul, the being who exists out of itself. I know your desire, and I am with you everywhere." I said, "I desire to be instructed in the essential things, to understand their nature, and to know God. Oh, how I long to understand."
He answered, "Keep firmly in your consciousness what you wish to learn, and I will instruct you."
With these words, he changed in appearance, and at once, in the twinkling of an eye, everything opened itself to me. I saw an immense vision. All things became one light, very serene, yet exalted, and I was exceedingly delighted at its sight. Shortly afterwards, a terrible and melancholic darkness came into being in a part of it. It bent itself downwards and rotated in tortuous spirals, just like a snake, it seemed to me. Then this darkness changed into a moist and inexpressibly disordered nature, from which smoke arose as from fire, while emitting a sound like some indescribable groaning.
Then a cry resounded from out of the moist nature, a wordless call which I compared with the voice of the fire, while from out of the light a holy word spread itself over nature, and a pure fire darted on high out of the moist nature, light, fierce and mighty.
Because of its lightness, the air followed the fiery breath. From out of the earth and the water, it raised itself to the fire, so that it seemed to be hung on the fire. The earth and the water remained where they were, very thoroughly mixed together, so that it was not possible to distinguish the earth and the water. They were continuously moved by the breath of the word which hovered over them. Then Pymander spoke, "Have you understood what this vision means?" I answered, "I will learn that now." Then he said, "I am that light, the spirit soul, your God, who was before the moist nature which appeared out of the darkness. The luminous word that emanates from the spirit soul is the Son of God." "What does that mean?" I asked. "Understand it thus. That which sees and hears in you is the word of the Lord, and your spirit soul is God the Father. They are not separated from each other, for their unity is life." "I thank you," I said. "Now, direct your heart upon the light and know it."
With these words, he stared me full in the face for a while, so penetratingly that I shuddered at his stare.
When, after this, he raised his head again, I saw in my spirit soul how the light, consisting of innumerable powers, had become a truly unlimited world, whereas the fire was enclosed and restrained by a very mighty power, and thus was brought into balance. All this I determined in the vision, through the word of Pymander. As I was completely beside myself, he spoke to me again. "You have now seen in the spirit soul the beautiful original human figure, the archetype, the original
principle from before the beginning without end." Thus Pymander spoke to me.
"From where came the elements of nature?" I asked. He answered, "Out of God's will, which, when he had taken up the word in himself and had seen the beautiful archetype of the world, formed this, after this model, into an ordered world, out of the elements of his own being and out of the souls born of him. God, the Spirit, which in itself is man and woman and the fount of life and light, brought forth by a word a second spirit being, as the demiurge which, as the God of the fire and of the breath, has formed seven rectors, which surround the sensory world with their circles and govern it with what is called destiny. Immediately the word of God shot away from the elements that are active below to the pure region of nature that was just formed, and it united itself with the demiurge with which it is essentially one. Thus the lower elements of nature were left to themselves, robbed of reason, so that they were nothing more than mere matter. But the demiurge united with the word, whilst he encompassed the circles and caused them to rotate very rapidly, brought the cycle of his creatures into motion from an indefinite beginning unto an end, without end, because the end coincides with the beginning. According to the will of the Spirit, this rotation of the circles brought forth out of the sunken elements senseless animals, because they had no longer the word in their midst. The air brought forth winged beasts, and the water swimming beasts. Earth and water were separated according to the will of the Spirit, and the earth caused to issue from its womb the beasts which it held enclosed in itself, four-footed animals, crawling beasts, wild beasts, and domestic animals. The Spirit, the Father of all creatures, who is life and light, brought forth a man alike unto him, whom he began to love as his own child. For man, being the likeness of his Father, was very beautiful. God loved in truth his own figure, and gave him charge of all his works. However, when man observed the creation the demiurge had formed in the fire, he also wished to bring forth a piece of work, and the Father granted him this. When he then entered the field of creation of the demiurge, in which he was to have a free hand, he observed the works of his brother. The rectors began to love him, and each of them let him share his own rank in the hierarchy of the spheres. When, afterwards, he had learnt to know their being, and had received a share in their nature, he wished to break through the limitations of the circles and learn the power of him who rules over the fire. Then man, who was given power over the world of mortal beings and the reasonless beasts, bent over, through the cohesive power of the spheres, the envelopment of which he had broken through, and showed himself to the nature below in the beautiful figure of God. When nature saw the one who possessed the inexhaustible beauty and all the energies of the seven rectors united in the figure of God, it smiled with love, for it had seen the features of this wonderfully beautiful form of man reflected in the water, and had perceived his shadow upon the earth. Concerning himself, when he observed in nature the form that so very much resembled him, because of the reflection in the water, he fell in love with it and wished to live there. What he wished he did at once, and thus he inhabited the reasonless form. And when nature had received its beloved unto itself, it encircled him wholly, and they became one, for the fire of their desire was great. That is why of all the creatures in nature, only man is dual, namely, mortal as to the body, and immortal as to the essential man. For, although he is immortal and has power over all things, he still undergoes the fate of mortals, because he is subjected to destiny. Therefore, although he belongs above the cohesive power of the spheres, he has become a slave within this power, although he is man-woman, because he issued from a father who is man-woman, and although he is free of sleep, because he issued from a being that is free of sleep, he is nevertheless conquered by the desire of the senses and by sleep. Thereupon I said, O Spirit in me, I too love the word. Pymander spoke, What I am going to say to you is the secret that has been hidden until this day. When nature had become one with man, it generated an astonishing wonder. Man had in himself the nature of all the seven rectors, composed, as I have told you, of fire and breath. Nature now brought forth, without delay, seven humans corresponding with the nature of the seven rectors, at the same time man and woman, and with a figure that was erect. Then I cried out, "O Pymander, a special wish has now arisen in me, and I burn with longing to hear it. Please go on."
Pymander spoke, "Be silent, for I have not yet finished my first explanation."
"I am silent," I answered. "Well then, as I said, the creation of the first seven humans took place as follows. The earth was the matrix, water the procreative element. Fire brought the process of genesis to maturity. Nature received from the ether the breath of life and created the bodies according to the form of man. Man, out of life and light, became soul and spirit. Soul. Life became soul. Light became spirit soul. All creatures of the sensory world remained in this state till the end of the cycle, until the beginning of the species. And now, listen to what you so strongly desire to hear. When the cycle was completed, the bond that united everything was broken by the will of God. All the beasts that until that moment had been both male and female were separated as to these two aspects, just as man. Thus, some beasts became male and others female. At once God spoke the holy word, "Grow while you increase and multiply in number, all you who are created and made. And let those who possess the spirit soul recognize themselves as immortal, and know that the cause of death is love of the body and of everything that belongs to earth." When God had thus spoken, Providence brought about the blending through fate and the cohesive power of the spheres, and it set propagation in motion. All the creatures multiplied themselves after their sort. Whoever has recognized himself as immortal is chosen above all, whilst whoever has loved the body that originated out of the error of desire remains wandering in darkness and must go through the pain of experiencing all things that belong to death. "What an atrocious fault of those who are in ignorance made," I cried, "that they have been robbed of immortality."
"I think you did not reflect on what you have heard. Have I not told you to be especially attentive?" "I reflect on it," I said, "and now I remember and am grateful to you."
"If you reflected on it, tell me then why those who are in death deserve to die. Because the fount from which their bodies spring is the dismal darkness which caused the moist nature to arise. This composed, in the sensory world, the body in which death quenches its thirst. You have understood this well, but why does he who recognized himself come to God just as God's word said it?" "Because," I answered, "the Father of all things out of whom man is born is light and life." "Yes, light and life. That is God the Father out of whom man is born. If you know that you have come forth out of life and light and that you are composed of these elements, you will return to life." This is what Pymander told me. "But tell me yet, O my spirit soul, how shall I enter into life?" I asked. "For God has said, let man who possesses the spirit soul recognize himself." "Do not all people then possess the spirit soul?" "Take care of what you say, for I, Pymander, the spirit soul, come to those who are holy and good, pure and merciful, to the devout. My presence becomes a help to them, so that they at once recognize everything. By their love they please the Father, and thank him in childlike devotion with the praise and the songs they owe him. Before giving their body over to death, whose own it is, they scorn their senses because its activities are only too well known to them. Yet I, the spirit soul, will certainly not allow the activities of the body that attack them to practice their influence upon them, for as the guardian of the doors, I shall refuse admittance to evil and shameful deeds and cut off unholy imaginings.
Yet I keep myself far from the foolish, the bad, the corrupt, the envious, the covetous, the murderers, and the ungodly. Them I leave to the avenging demon who, by belaboring such people with the scourge of the fire, drives this into their senses and through this equips them for further unholy deeds, so that an ever greater punishment is executed upon them. Therefore the desire of these people is continually seeking
greater satisfaction, causing them to rage in darkness without there being anything that can satiate them. In this exists their torment, and through this the flame that scorches them blazes ever higher. O spirit soul, you have instructed me in all these things exactly as I wished, but tell me now, how does the way upwards develop? Hereupon Pimander answered, First, this body is relinquished to transformation in the dissolving process of the material body, and the form you had will then be seen no more. You give your ordinary eye, that in the future is rendered inoperative, over to the demon. The physical senses return to their sources of which they once more form a part. They once more become one with its activities, whereas the passion and desire impulses return to the reasonless nature. In this way, man travels further upwards, across the cohesive power of the spheres, to the first circle, he yields the power to increase and decrease, to the second circle, the proficiency in evil, and the artifice that has become impotent. To the third circle, the now impotent error of desire. To the fourth circle, the vanity of ostentation of the ruler, who can no longer be satisfied. To the fifth circle, the godless recklessness and insolent thoughtlessness. To the sixth circle, the attachment to riches that has been put out of action. To the seventh circle, the lie that continually sets its snares. Then when he has stripped himself of that which issued from the power of the spheres, he enters the eighth nature, in possession of nothing but his own power, and sings with all those who are there hymns of praise to the Father, and all rejoice with him because of his presence. When he has become equal to them, he also hears certain powers that abide above the eighth nature, singing hymns together in praise of God. And then they rise up, in correct order, to the Father, give themselves up to the powers, and, themselves having become powers in their turn, enter into God. This is the good end for those who possess the Gnosis, that they become God. But why do you delay? Now that you have received everything from me, are you not going to?
Those who are worthy of it, in order to serve them as a guide, so that thanks to your mediatorship the human race may be saved by God. When Pimander had said this, he blended himself before my eyes with the powers, and I, who was now clothed with power and instructed about the nature of the universe and about the exalted vision, thanked and praised the Father of all things. I began to proclaim to the people the beauty of the Gnosis and of the life dedicated to God. O you nations, you men who are born of the earth, and who have given yourselves up to intoxication and slumber, and to the ignorance concerning God, become sober and stop wallowing in debauchery, enchanted as you are by an animal sleep. On hearing this, they came to me with one accord, and I spoke further, O you earthly born, why have you given yourselves up to death, whereas you have power to participate in immortality? Repent. You who walk in error, and who have accepted ignorance as a leader, liberate yourselves from the dark light, and take part in immortality by taking leave of destruction forever.
Some of them mocked me and went away, for they were on the road of death. But others, who had thrown themselves on their knees for me, besought me to instruct them. I raised them up and became a guide to the human race by teaching them in what way they would be saved. And I sowed in them the words of wisdom, and they were fed with the water of immortality. When evening came and the light of the sun had almost disappeared, I invited them to give thanks to God. After they had completed the thanksgiving, they all returned to their firesides. I, however, wrote Pimanda's benefaction in me, and when I was completely filled with this, a supreme joy came over me, for the sleep of the body became the soberness of the soul, the closing of the eyes the true seeing. The silence became for me as a pregnancy of the good, and the proclaiming of the word resulted in fruitful works of salvation. All this has come to me because I received from Pimanda, my spirit soul, the being that exists out of itself, the word from the beginning. Thus I am now filled with the divine breath of truth. Therefore I direct with my whole soul and with all my powers this song of praise to God the Father. Holy is God, the Father of all things. Holy is God, whose will comes about by means of his own powers. Holy is God who wishes to be known, and who is known by those who belong to him. Holy art thou, who through the word has called everything into being. Holy art thou, after whose likeness the all nature has become. Holy art thou, who is in no way formed by nature. Holy art thou, mightier than all mights. Holy art thou, more excellent than all that is. Holy art thou, exalted above all praise.
Accept the pure offerings awakened by the word in my soul and in my heart, which direct themselves to thee, O ineffable, O inexpressible one, whose name may be spoken only by silence. Lend an ear to me who prays that I may never be severed from the gnosis, the true knowledge that belongs to my nucleus being.
Incline thyself to me and fill me with thy power. With this grace I shall bring the light to those of my race who are in ignorance, my brothers, thy sons. Yes, I believe and testify with my blood. I am going to the life and to the light.
Be praised, O Father, thy Son will sanctify with thee, for which thou hast given him all power.